Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you're here with us. I'm excited about this passage that we're going to look at today. Today we are obviously in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll be looking at the blessings for obeying God and the curses for disobeying God. And the message is very simple. Obedience and disobedience matters. You choose one or the other, and it affects your life. It affects your life now and your future and your eternity. As Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And life with God is blessed and full, and life without God will end in disaster. Now, we're in a series, we've been teaching through a series called The Big Story of the Bible. And I like to emphasize that the story of the Bible, it's not like just the story of a book. The story of the Bible is the true story of the history of the world. And Israel is a big part of that story. And they are the focus of this chapter. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, that may sound kind of different or strange to you. But Israel is a key part of how God has worked and has revealed himself in this world. You know, if you've ever questioned if God is really there or not, one way you can find an answer to that is by looking at creation. Just open your eyes and see everything that God has made, including your own body. You can also get an answer by looking at Scripture. God has revealed himself in the Word, and as you read the Word, just the reality of God becomes clear to you. But another way you can get an answer to the question, is God really there, is by looking at Israel. God has revealed himself to the world through his dealings with Israel. And you might ask, why is that? Why is so much in the Bible about Israel? Well, that's just the way God wrote his story. And he is the author of history. He's the author of his book, the Bible. And that's what he wrote. And as we've seen, as we've looked at the big story of the Bible, after the curse came upon us in the garden after Adam's sin, God chose Abraham as the person through whom he would reverse that curse and ultimately bless all the peoples of the earth. And God started that process of blessing people or finding a way to bless people by making Abraham into a great nation. And of course, what is that great nation that Abraham was made into? It was Israel. And the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come through that nation, Israel. But before the Savior came, God chose Israel to be his people and his platform upon which to reveal his power and his holiness, his mercy and his love. He used them to reveal his law. And that's what Josh talked about the last two Sundays. But we know who God is largely through his dealings with Israel. And so the 2,000 years between Abraham to Christ are not a wasted part of the Bible. Some people think they are. And if we ignore that, we will have a shallow or limited and incomplete understanding of the God who has loved us and saved us through Jesus. God is the God of Israel. And if you read through your Bible, you'll find that phrase all through the Scripture. He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And you'll see that expression, the God of Israel. In fact, there's a psalm that says, how blessed is the person whose helper is the God of Jacob. And I rejoice in that. I love having the God of Israel as my guide. You read through the Bible, and he's the one who created the world and all that is in it. He parted the Red Sea. The amazing things that the God of Israel did. I love having the God of Israel as my God and my helper. And salvation through Jesus is to be brought into relationship with this God. I'm going to say that again. Salvation through Jesus is to be brought into relationship with the God of Israel. Well, one of the ways that Israel would witness to the world was by exhibiting God's blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And of course, that's the message of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I mean, it's in one way, it's so simple that a child can understand it. There's blessings for obedience. There's curses for disobedience. The blessings are great. They're awesome. The curses are severe. It's black and white. But one purpose was to keep Israel faithful to God. Verse 14 said, "Do not turn aside to the right or to the left from any of the words I command you today, and do not go after other gods to serve them." And that was the purpose of these tremendous promises and warnings, was to keep their heart loyal and faithful and true to the God who chose them to be his people. Israel was surrounded by a world steeped in darkness, idolatry, demon worship, and child sacrifice. And the pressure for them to melt into the world and to serve the gods of the other nations of this world were enormous. Just like it is for us, the pressure to be conformed to the world is enormous, and it was enormous for Israel. And this covenant that we just read about this morning, the covenant of blessings and curses, was to help preserve them as a unique people through whom our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would eventually come. But another purpose was so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. David Guzik said, "Yahweh," or the Lord God, would do this by either making Israel so blessed that the world would know only God could have blessed them, or by making them so cursed that only God could have cursed them. And we see this principle right here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10. "When these blessings come upon you, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you." The ESV says, "fear of you." I think a better translation and several others are, "they will stand in awe of you when they see the greatness of these blessings come upon you." But note that phrase, "all the peoples of the earth will see." On the other hand, when the curses come upon them, all the nations will ask, "Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land? Why this great outburst of anger?" And the peoples will answer, "It is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them." So either way, through blessing and even through experiencing God's discipline and curses, Israel will testify to all the nations that there is a God and that he is the Lord God of Israel. And that's why I said earlier, one of the main ways that we know that there is a God is through his dealings with Israel and what we read about them in the scripture. So, not to belabor the point, but I just want to make it clear, and I think this is so important in understanding. If we're going to understand the Bible, if you're going to understand God's big picture and what is going on from the beginning to the end, we have to understand this important section of the Bible, and that for a long period of time, God made Israel an object lesson to all people for all time. And because of God's dealings with Israel in history, we are witnesses of the astonishing blessings of God for obedience and the severe curses for disobedience. I mean, anybody can go and read the stories. And the truth shouted from these stories is that life with God results in fullness and abundance and blessing, and life without God is cursed and ends in destruction. I know that sounds pretty black and white and maybe hard for our ears to hear, but that is the message to us. And it is to cause us, like Israel, to faithfully respond to God It's to cause us to faithfully obey the voice of God. Another big reason that I chose to teach on Deuteronomy chapter 28 in this series of God's big story is that I don't think you can understand the Bible without it. I don't think you can understand the Old Testament without it for sure. The covenant of blessings and curses are the key to understand the entire Old Testament. Virtually everything in Joshua and Judges, the kings and the prophets, all flow out of this chapter, Deuteronomy 28. This chapter, this covenant of blessings and curses, determine the life experience of Israel. God said it would, and it did. Then one more thing I think I need to say before we get into the specifics is that the law and the blessings for and the blessings and cursings for keeping or not keeping the covenant were given to the nation Israel. This is not the covenant that we live under. It was for Israel's purpose and mission. But it is also for our instruction. It is for us to be encouraged from the blessings, and to be warned from. And there's a lot that we should learn from it. And mainly this, the fundamental choice of every person's life is to obey the voice of the Lord God or not. The fundamental choice you have is to obey the voice of the Lord and live in His blessings, or follow your own way and ultimately experience the curse of that. Israel had that choice, and we all have that fundamental choice to make. All right, so let's work through these blessings and curses. Verse 1, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So leadership over the Gentile nations would be a part of Israel's reward for obedience. And in other words, their response to God would determine their glory and their future as a nation. And it did. At the height of their obedience under David and Solomon, they were exalted. At the height of their disobedience under later kings, they were destroyed. They were deported. If you know the story, if you read your Old Testament, you'll find they were deported to Assyria and Babylon and scattered among the nations. Verse 2, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you'll obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you obeyed, God said, I will aggressively bless you. Blessings will chase you down and overtake you. They'll pursue you. It's like Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's the way God blesses, and it's the way He wants to bless you and me. Verse 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. In other words, you will experience blessings wherever you live, wherever you go, you'll be blessed. Verse 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, as well as the produce of your land and the offspring of your livestock and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You'll be fruitful in every area of life. Verse 5, I love this, your basket and your bowl will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading bowl will be blessed. God's blessing for obedience would start right in the home, in the kitchen, with food and with cooking. You would experience God's blessing right there in that very personal area of life. What a massive blessing for the wives and for the entire family. Verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. What a beautiful expression. You're going to be blessed when you go out of your house. You're going to be blessed when you come into your house. Going or coming, you're going to be blessed. It's just there all the time for you. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. God promised protection and victory. God will defeat those who attack you, who come against you. Verse 8, the Lord will decree a blessing on your barns and on everything to which you put your hand. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens to send rain on your land in season and bless all the works of your hands. And you will prosper in everything. Sounds very much like Psalm 1. If you delight in the law of God, he will cause you to prosper in everything that you do. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward if you hear and carefully follow the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today. That blessing says that they will have leadership. They will be the head, not the tail. They will have leadership over others and continued success. And so this is an amazing list, and I encourage you sometime to just think through it and meditate on it. It's just an amazing list of blessings for obeying the voice of the Lord. It should be a tremendous encouragement to us to just see how amazingly God can bless us and how he wants to bless us. But I also feel like I need to give a word of caution because of how this passage, I believe, has been misused by some. Some areas of the church or some people take this chapter as a basis for teaching that God intends all of his children to be rich, successful, dominant, and winners in this world all the time. And that's how some TV preachers justify things like a $65 million private jet and a $30 million mansion. And they live that way off of the contributions of people who don't have anywhere near that much by the appeal of, you know, if you give me this money, you'll be rich too. Well, that thinking, that kind of lifestyle, that turning Christianity into that kind of thing, ignores God's unique purpose with Israel and God's unique promise to Israel, and it goes against a lot of New Testament teaching. Now, we are blessed by God for obedience to Jesus. I totally believe that. And we are blessed by obedience to the Lord in many ways, often including material and physical blessings. One of my favorite verses that I always write in the cards that I give to high school graduates is this. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." I mean, it's a biblical principle. The Lord will honor you for serving him. And often we are blessed in the same ways promised here to Israel. Our kitchens are blessed. Our baskets and bowls are blessed. We're blessed when we go into our house and out of our house. God blesses the work of our hands. I'm sure all of us have experienced that in some way, in some measure, and it's God, and we know it. He's blessed us. But the Bible is also clear that we, as believers in Christ, followers of God, have many struggles and trials in this present world. And our glory and our riches mainly is in the coming age. Where we are promised, as it says in the book of Hebrews, better possessions and permanent ones that cannot be taken from us. So, with that explanation, that sums up the blessings. That's in the first verses of this amazing chapter. So that's the blessings, and they are so awesome. But then the curses for disobedience were really severe. The curses, as you'll see, are the complete reversal of the blessings. Verse 15, If, however, you do not obey the Lord your God by carefully following all his commandments and statutes I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your basket and kneading bowl will be cursed. You will be cursed when you come in and you go out. Verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Verse 64, then the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. So, I'm just reading a few of them, but you get the picture. The curses involved things like starvation, disease, mental afflictions, defeat in battle, being scattered and enslaved by other nations. I think the curses are shocking. It's a difficult passage to read, quite frankly. And I have not read the worst ones for you today. Now you would think, or I would think, that Israel, based on what God has just told them through Moses, I would think that Israel would be so careful to listen to the Lord and to obey him. And at times they did, but generally they did not. And eventually they experienced virtually every single one of these curses to the full. And later in the chapter, it gives us the main reason they disobeyed and invited all this destruction upon themselves. And it's a surprising reason, I think. Verses 46 and 47, that's why I included them in your bulletin. These curses will be a sign and a wonder upon you and your descendants because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart in all your abundance. They did not serve the Lord with joy. They failed at joy. What an amazing reason to stumble into all this trouble. They didn't have a glad heart in all their abundance. That means they were ungrateful for all their blessings. And because of that, because they didn't have joy in serving the Lord, because they were ungrateful to God and all their blessings, they were unsatisfied and discontent, and so they turned to other gods. And the result was that the full weight of these curses came upon them for those reasons. And I think the obvious question for us then is our life filled with joy and a glad heart? Do you and I serve God with joy and with gratitude? I know Deanne's chosen a word for the year, delight, and I love that. Just that should mark our lives, delight in serving God. Enjoying God matters. Giving thanks to God matters. It protects our hearts from disobedience and wandering away from the Lord. And when we don't live in joy and gratitude, we can so easily become bitter, self-absorbed, maybe even angry, and not even see it in ourselves. Other people can see it, I'm sure, but we often can't even see it in ourselves when we stop serving the Lord with joy and gratitude. And so we bring even greater unhappiness upon ourselves. And this is a serious issue. Verse 65 says, instead of a glad heart, the Lord will give you a trembling heart and a despairing soul. You shall be in dread night and day. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And at evening you shall say, if only it were morning. Because of the dread that your heart shall feel. And it's because they didn't serve the Lord with joy and with a grateful heart. So another thing I think that shows that the choice for Israel and for us is not only outward blessings and curses. I mean, obviously, most of the things that are mentioned here are outward things. God will fight your battles for you. He'll protect you from your enemies. Your barns will be full or not. But it's not only outward blessings or curses. The choice is Do you want your heart to be full or empty? Do you want joy or dread? Do you want blessings or curses? Blessings and curses are experienced in our hearts too. And I think that's even the greatest motivation to have reverence for the Lord, to obey Him, to obey His voice. But there's one other message that I think is really important for us and the world to see from the curses. And that is, it's a sober message, and it's that they teach that God's punishment for sin is severe. People think it's unfair. It's not. God is just. He is a just and holy God. His punishment for sin is righteous. He is righteous and just to judge sin. But when we know that about God, it should drive us to a Savior. It should drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ to find safety and salvation. And really that's what Paul said. Again, kind of looking at this whole, the Bible and the big story, Paul said the law, which Josh taught on the last two Sundays, and the consequences for obeying or not obeying the law, which we're covering this morning, but Paul said the law, all of this that we've been talking about, is like a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Anyway, can't go into that a whole lot more. We'll actually do that more next week, so come back next Sunday and you'll hear a little bit more about that. But ultimately, the message is, come to Jesus, come to Christ, and be saved. Be safe and be saved and be under the blessing of God and out from underneath all condemnation. Okay, I want to leave you this morning with a few overall takeaways from this chapter. First, and These are things that we've covered somewhat as we've taught through this, but these are the things that I would kind of help like you to just remember specifically, I think are really important for you to take home with you from this morning. First, the fundamental choice of life is obedience to God or disobedience. You know, you and I make a lot of choices all the time. We make choices all day long. What we're going to have for lunch or supper, where we're going to go this afternoon, what we're going to do this afternoon, who we're going to do things with, are we going to go to this or that? We make choices all the time. And this, to obey God or to disobey God, is the most important choice you make every single day of your life in every single situation. You know, you can be so worried, you and I'm not going to exclude myself, I certainly put myself into this, but we can be so worried about so many things, and then you can ignore the one thing you do really need to worry about, and that's obeying and pleasing the Lord, listening to the voice of the Lord. That's the one thing you need to be concerned about more than anything, pleasing and obeying the voice of the Lord. Obeying the voice of the Lord is your life purpose, and one of the things that I think is really good about understanding that is that it helps you understand why you're here. It helps you understand why you're here. It helps you to know what your purpose for life is always. And whether, so here's what I mean by that. So whether you just lost your wife, like I did, or your job, or your health, or your dreams, you never lose your purpose for living. because your purpose for living is to obey the voice of the Lord your God. You always know what to do. No matter where you're at, you could be in Japan like Bella is, you could be here in Ankeny, you could be at school, you could be at work, you can be with your family, you can be in the home, you could be at the coffee shop, but you always know ultimately what to do, to obey the voice of the Lord your God. You live for him who died for you. That's the purpose of life, and you know that. You know, a few years ago I heard an interview with Jim Caviezel. How many of you know who he is? He played Christ, Jesus in the Passion, I believe, and he's a believer. And I heard him in this interview say something that really, really hit me, and I immediately went and wrote it down. I actually shared it on Facebook. But he said, here's what he said. I know our Lord deserves to be loved, and come hell or high water, I'm going to do it. He had resolved that he was going to obey Jesus. And kind of reminds me of what Paul said, whether by life or by death, all that matters to me is that Christ is exalted. And that's not only an apostle who should think that way. Every single believer in Jesus is to have that ambition. And so, the first big thing to take home from this chapter is that this chapter should motivate faithful, loving, joyful obedience to God as the ultimate goal of your life. Second, it reveals an unbreakable law or an unbreakable principle that you should never forget. And that is this: the full enjoyment of life depends on obeying God's word. Life with God is the good life. The devil will tell you differently. The world will tell you differently. But life with God is the good life. Life without God ends in destruction. And that's really what this chapter is all about. Again, we're not under the old covenant, but the principle of obedience and faithfulness to God remain. And there is fullness of blessing of life in Christ, and there's shipwreck, ruin, and destruction apart from him. Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And Peter said, if you want to love life and see good days, then turn away from evil and do good. All right, the third takeaway for us is that this chapter reveals God's desire to bless and to do good to us. You know, God wanted to bless his people. He wanted them to listen to his voice and walk in blessing. That was his desire. And earlier in the same book, in Deuteronomy 6:24, it says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. You catch that? Every single thing that the Lord commanded them to do, everything that the Lord commands us to do, it says, is for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. Psalm 35:27. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. Later on in Deuteronomy, the Lord appeals to Israel, choose life that you may live. It's like he is pleading with them to choose life. Choose obedience and life so that you may live. God's desire, God's creation plan is to bless you and all the peoples of the earth, and he does that by offering us a Savior, Jesus Christ. He makes that possible for you and me by offering the Lord Jesus Christ to us, who brings us under the umbrella of God's favor and kindness for all eternity, it says. All right, the fourth takeaway is to serve God with joy and gratitude. And again, we already talked about this, but I just want to reemphasize that for you to remember this as you go home today. Serve the Lord with joy and gratitude. It's so important. God loves cheerful obedience in everything. And many of us are familiar with the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said to them, God loves a cheerful giver. But it's not only that God loves a cheerful giver. The reason he loves a cheerful giver is because he loves every kind of obedience that's done with a cheerful heart. He just likes us to serve him that way. In the Psalms, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's not just going to the house of the Lord. It's not just giving. It's not just doing the other things that God asks us to do. It's doing it with gladness. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, in spite of the promises of blessings and the warnings of curses, Israel as a whole did turn away from the Lord and served other gods because there was a problem in their heart. And that same problem is in our hearts. Or at least it was until we come to know Jesus and have him do his work inside of us. Christ came to solve the problem in our hearts. And we're going to get more into that again next Sunday. But about 1,400 years from the time that Deuteronomy chapter 28 was written, which that's what we've been in today, about 1,400 years later, Jesus would come. And he gave us a new covenant in his blood, which we're going to talk about and celebrate this morning. He gave us a new covenant in his blood, and through faith in Jesus, we are released from our sins, our hearts are cleansed, we are given a new heart, and through Jesus, our hearts are equipped with the power to obey him and the desire to please God. And that's the answer to life, and it comes through Jesus. And again, that will be more of our focus next week as we will see the first hints of the new covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 30. So let's stand and pray together, and then we will give you a chance to stretch a bit, and then we will be...